Good morning. Our lesson text this morning will be in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 33. But before we read into this, we've been traveling or going through Christ's Sermon on the Mount, where he will give these examples here of the law. And one of the things that the reason why I had Dave read what he read is because of the old days, the religious groups, the religious crowds knew the law. And so it wasn't that the law was something that Jesus came to abolish in the sense of forgetting about it, but he's going to bring up particular laws that men interpreted in their own views and strove to apply, that they tried to teach what God really wasn't saying. And it's no different that when it came to oaths, which Jesus will talk about here, people made promises all the time. But what happens was these Pharisees would come around and take it and manipulate a particular promise to make so that it, when they fell short of it, it wouldn't be seen by others as failure before God. So Jesus is going to elaborate. He's going to address the issue to his disciples, because I truly believe that if we're in God's kingdom, and we'll see this, that we would be people of our word. How many times have we had people come up to us and said, "I'm a man of my word"? It's almost like, "I will do what I say, and you can trust that." And when that's fallen short of, it can be discouraging. And I think before God, when we don't keep our word, and we say we're going to do what we do before him, it hurts God initially. God wants us to be people of what we say, not just with word, but in action. And so people who are going to participate in God's kingdom will be those people who practice literally what they preach and what they live out for God and what they say of a promise to another person. Today we have many vows that people still use. I mean, the court vows, where people will swear that they're going to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And even we have the wedding vows today. Still people will say, "Till death do us part," that vow, that promise, "I will keep what I am saying now." Thank God for Jesus to be able to forgive us when we fall short of our words. And I'm not saying that we won't fall short at times, but the whole understanding of Jesus' message is to say yes when we mean it, and say no when we don't. That's really the gist of the message here. But Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 33, "Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot even make a hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more comes from evil." So I have 3 points this morning. Being sincere in our words, meaning what we say, a reliable honesty, that when we're around other people, what we say is what we mean. We don't play games before people in what we're talking about. And then an absolute truthfulness, and that's why I titled the sermon Truthfulness. Just, again, that word absolute. Last couple weeks ago we talked about absolute purity. God defines what He desires. And that's why He's given us commands. No human being can ever live a such a righteous life that will achieve the perfect commands of God. Just to make us aware of that. God's never desired any of us to be perfectly rigid by the law. In fact, just to add to this before we go on, in Matthew 23, Jesus stated that all these things these religious people were doing actively in the altars, in their possession of what they were given, He says that they had neglected the more weightier matters of life. Justice. That mercy of having mercy on people. That justice. To see justice done in God's name, to get it right, and to be faithful. Faithfulness. He says, you guys have forgotten to be faithful to me. And that's what God's always desired, and I think no different here when we, as we would say, that the oaths of old, oaths, that people were, a godly person would be faithful in keeping with what he said. So this is important here. Begin again, because it comes from the heart. God's always been about the heart. So be sincere in your words. As I've read earlier, that oath, the words horkas. Horkas is the word for an oath. It refers to a solemn pledge. You pledge what you say you're going to do, or it's, and it's a binding obligation. I mean, once you say it before God, that's it. You can't take it back. Now, Jesus is telling his disciples here about what they say and its importance. What they are going to say from here on out in His kingdom is going to have a make or break effect on their lives and the people around them. We want to be honest. Oaths were permitted in the Old Covenant, and they were commanded in specific circumstances. I mean, in Deuteronomy 6:13, the Israelites were instructed to swear by God's name. I mean, if you had something to say, you better say it before God and mean what you say. This is how God always has communicated with His people and how we communicate back with Him. In Leviticus 19:12, false oaths were forbidden. I mean, a false oath just wasn't appropriate. And God said no. In Leviticus 27, people were prohibited from swearing falsely by God's name, profaning it. And so today we have, unfortunately, that people do use God's name in vain still. But it was never God's intent that people would use His name in such a way. Just because people do it ignorantly doesn't mean it isn't still wrong before God. Vows made to God were binding. They were binding. You better stick to your word. And so Deuteronomy 23:21 states, if you make a vow to the Lord, your God, you shall not delay in fulfilling it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. Again, it's about not delaying in fulfilling. This is God's heart to His people. Don't delay in fulfilling what you say you're going to do in God's name and for God. God Himself made oaths to His people on several occasions. And there's some encouragement to the way that God works His oaths and what He says and His promises. He's consistent. the covenant he made with Abraham. These are common understandings of Scripture for most of us. But Abraham demonstrated his obedience because he was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. And God swore an oath because he saw the guy's faith to do what he had asked of him. And he promised to bless Abraham and multiply his descendants. Easier said than done, I think, sometimes when we're living faithful to God in our response to what he desires of us. But then he has this covenant with Isaac, and it's reaffirmed of the same oath made with Abraham, confirming his promise. God, the thing that's incredible about God's oaths is he says what he's going to do, and he means what he says, and it happens. It's going to happen when God says it in the Bible. So there's some encouragement there for us that we can carry over and hold on to. The covenant he made with David. God swore an oath to David, promising to establish his royal line, right? The royal line forever, and build up his throne for all generations. Again, through David came Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. And again, he reigns eternally that way. What a promise. God would give us a Savior to save us from our sins. We can trust confidently in God's Word because God's oaths never fail. Jesus is teaching on oaths. And during the time of Jesus, people used insincere oaths to manipulate their promise. Oh, they read the law. They read God's Word. But the motivation behind it, they lost the faithfulness of what was behind God's law and ran on that rather than the purpose of that. Jewish teachers taught that some oaths were not as binding as others. Well, that one's not so binding, so we'll be okay. If a law challenged them, here's the challenge for us. If the law challenged them, they reduced it to what was said to something to fit a less challenging teaching. Well, I don't like that one, so maybe we'll just go over to this one. That's kind of the attitude. When God says what he says, he means it for everybody to be on the same page with it. But again, if something's inconvenient and in troubling, it's tough to hold to God's word. And it shakes us sometimes. We just don't ever want to be an itching-eared person. Oh, you're doing great! We always have to check ourselves before God. Let him tell us we're doing great. Let God do this for us. Jesus eliminated the legalistic binding and non-binding vows. He eliminated. He says, you know what? We're not going to go there. In my kingdom, we're not going to be going to oaths any longer. We're going to be going my way. This is Jesus. Now, did he fulfill the vows? Yes, he did. He fulfilled the oaths. Jesus did it, and we'll see that a little bit later. He condemned them by pointing out, if a person swears by heaven, his throne, or earth, his footstool, or Jerusalem, his city, it was a disrespect for God's sovereignty. You know, God made it all. Second point, reliable honesty. Reliable honesty. Not just being honest, but be reliable in your honesty. Instead of an oath, our character, who we are, who we represent, God Almighty, and integrity should be the guarantee. That's the guarantee. Who we are is the guarantee before God that we want to carry out His will, and we will reflect that and show other people. Proverbs 11:3 states, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them." And I just made a simple comment. A double life will eventually expose and have negative consequences. There's just no way around it. God's made us to serve Him and Him only. And that reflects how we love and serve other people. And to live any other way, it's a double life. You can't have one foot out in and claiming you're keeping God's promises and then particularly choose to live another way. It doesn't work. God's not mean about this. He wants us to live a particular way, people of integrity. Our word should be completely trustworthy. A simple yes or a no should be enough. Yes or no. We don't have to go into spiels about, you got to trust me. I'm a man of my word. No, you do what you say you're going to do before God and He's pleased with it. And you choose to make a decision to help others do the same thing. And you speak the truth. You don't go off on tangents. You speak the truth all the time. You hold to the truth of what you're going to say. In James 5:12, he uses many times, there's probably over 20 references in the Sermon on the Mount where, in the book of James, where he will use particular words from Jesus. James loved Jesus. He followed Jesus. So when he was inspired and he wrote this, he says in verse 12 of chapter 5, above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under, similar to what Jesus says, condemnation. Soon as we get in a spiral of, uh-oh, how do I get myself out of what I said? That causes struggle before God. Always, always be honest with God and other people around you. This is what Jesus says. In my kingdom, just be honest. Don't hide anything. Don't have a hidden agenda. Be who you are. Don't be who you aren't. Anything beyond simple truthfulness with no extra assurance comes from the evil one. That's what the Bible teaches. Boy, it would be incredible for any of us to believe that we're fulfilling God's purpose and then to be following the evil one. We've got to resist not lying and telling the truth in every situation. The extra talk of promises not kept stems from a place of possible deceit. You can go down that road. It's a speech that can lead others astray from the truth. Telling people lies wrecks your integrity, your credential, your character before God. And so it's important to tell the truth. I know it's easier said sometimes than done. I think there's times we're struggling and we're not as honest as we can be, and we find ourselves spiraling, and that can be a tough place to come out from. So Jesus wasn't kidding. Jesus was serious about how we take what we say. A Christian must live with greater integrity, being honest and open in their lives. That's the point. Jesus' teaching fulfills the old law. He raised the standard, we would say, by abolishing it. Wow! Jesus abolished something that was super duper important. Not eradicating it to where men still weren't practicing it, but telling us as Christians, keep being people of your word. He expects those in His kingdom to be people of their word, and it's a promise fulfilled. God promises on His end, and we need to promise on our end. Oaths are unnecessary today. This is the point of what I teach. Some people believe we're still under God's oath, that we need to practice oaths. I do not. Because Christians are commanded not to lie. Colossians 3:9 says, do not lie. Put off those things. Ephesians 4:25 also talks about that, not being liars. And then point three, absolute truthfulness. Absolute. Yes, God wants people to be absolutely truthful. In Matthew 26, Jesus is an incredible example. When He was before Caiaphas, He was commanded, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus answers, you have said it yourself. And then added, but I tell you, from now on you'll see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Jesus' actions at His trial, when He was put before men who confronted Him to be straightforward of who He was, He was consistent with how He taught on the Sermon on the Mount of how we are to be. Jesus' oath declared the truth, again, because no deceit was ever found on His mouth. That's why we can trust Jesus' word, His promise, His truth of what He tells us to do ourselves. Jesus condemned the manipulative, casual, dishonest use of votes. And at His trial, His testimony was true. And it was a legal requirement of declaration. I am who you say I am. By responding truthfully under oath, Jesus upheld the principle of absolute honesty or absolute truthfulness that He has taught us to live out. It insists that our yes, again, I know this could be overemphasized, but our yes should be as trustworthy as a sworn oath. When we say yes, is trustworthy of those under the old covenant law. God's oath in Hebrews to Abraham is to demonstrate that God's promises are always reliable. God always has those promises. The nature of divine oath from God is that humans are different because there's no higher authority for God to swear by. God swore by Himself because He could swear by no one greater. You know, the absolute an unchangeable nature of His word. God's oath provides for us as believers a strong assurance that we are blessed, because God's word never fails, and what He says and promises and the blessings we have are truthful and honest. For us today, Jesus wants His followers to live a life of such honesty and integrity that our simple word is always sufficient and reliable. Our character should be so trustworthy that no one should feel that they need to ask you for a promise to believe you. Remember being a little kid? Crossed my heart and hoped to die. Kind of chuckle about that, but that's kind of when we were innocent, right? When we were little kids, innocent, trying to get the job right and being honest. And no one should have to do that. To be like Jesus, we must reflect faithfulness in our speech. And so, the invitation's simple. A Christian is a person of absolute integrity. You know, sometimes the world sees Christians as wimpy, weak, wobbly people. It's never been God's intention for anyone. In fact, He wants us to have integrity and be strong and truthful in what we say. A simple yes or no is completely trustworthy. Our simple word should be enough. That's an invitation. what we say should be enough, because it's enough before God. It's enough before God. True righteousness comes from the heart. Pharisees, they develop loopholes to avoid God's authority. Well, we don't like that one, so we'll move over to this one, and that's where we can't go either. Everything we promise is made in God's presence. That's why to swear by the footstool or the altar, God made it all. God sees everything. And that's why we always have to be conscientious. Nothing's hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Every one of us individually. I can't save you, you can't save me. Before the throne of God, we will be individually judged, and God will say, "Did you keep your promise?" Dishonesty comes from the evil one. See, Satan's always warning us to not keep the promises we made to God when we made Jesus Christ Lord of our lives, and to one another in the fellowship, that we would stay strong and fight the good fight together. Satan doesn't want us to fight the good fight together. He doesn't want us to tell people the truth. Dishonest speech and misleading words lead us to condemnation. He says that. Anything else comes from the evil one. And so we have to be honest with what we say, because we don't want to face the judgment and God say, "Did you tell everybody the truth?" Well, not everyone, God. Why? God wants us to tell everybody the truth. A person who's right with God is a person whose word is their bond. Deception is unthinkable. Will you be honest and truthful to God? As we sing the invitation song, let us think on these things.